Terrific. So, Steve, welcome to our interview, our chat. Thanks for taking the time. I'd like to start. I wanted because the audience for this is arguably very general and broad, and I'd like to just start with the basics. So, can you define what is a CFO?
You know, a chief financial officer, we have it divided into kind of four groups. So there's the senior finance person of a company is your chief financial officer. Europe, and maybe Australia calls them a financial director sometimes. But there's it's made up of kind of four key areas. There's an accounting piece, which everyone understands, debits and credits. That's what accounting is. A lot of people don't know what that means, but it's keeping the books, right? Then we have a second area that's finance. And the finance is the forecasting, the planning, the analysis. So that's kind of the second key area that a finance chief or a CFO has responsibility for. And the third area is treasury. So treasury has to do with raising money, keeping track of cash, making sure the bank account always has money in it to pay vendors, and then also the risk management piece that a CFOs are very involved in when it comes to risk management for the company. So we kind of divide the key areas, the key three areas of the technical parts into accounting, finance, treasury. And then, of course, there's a huge leadership aspect. So the CFO on the leadership team handles those three aspects. And then a lot of the strategic piece that comes around that they offer from a financial perspective. So in a nutshell, accounting, finance, treasury, and a leadership role is what the chief financial officer does.
Right. So then you started by saying four and then you switched to three. And then I'm thinking, but now I understand. So the fourth is the leadership.
And exactly.
But the three, in a sense, for the first three are almost the functional aspects of the CFO role. And then the fourth becomes that more, it seems to me, more flexible, more overarching role. Which can be very qualitative, right? Like, what does the leadership role of a CFO look like?
Well, that you're exactly right. That there's kind of three technical parts, and then the leadership, and that's how you become the CFO. That fourth area, the leadership, is what differentiates a financial leader in accounting, finance, or treasury, and a CFO. But in general, we teach it this way, and I'm not sure this is the most common way, but you know, leadership kind of for us has three stages. There's a self-awareness piece, that a piece that has to do with really knowing yourself well and knowing how other people perceive you. So we have that as kind of the first step in our leadership pillar, we call it. The second area is team building. So understanding how to build teams and make teams work. An important aspect of being a leader. And the third area, which is when you really get the chance to be directing a company and having a significant impact, is when you're developing strategy and culture. So we kind of divide leadership into three pillars that are step functions from self-awareness to team building to building strategy and the culture of a company.
Oh, that's really interesting. Do you think it seems to me that it makes sense for us to dig down into those three pillars then? Because, I mean, to some extent, if someone maybe watching this or reading this will be thinking about, you know, they might be a nascent CFO, someone who wants to move into that role. And so how do they get there? So but then the other side is the people like in accounts receivable and other areas of the sort of the payment structure. Would probably ought to know what they should be expecting from CFOs as well. So maybe dig down into those three pillars.
I'd be happy to do that. So in the accounting pillar, how we divide that up is we have a governance and internal control aspects. So if you look at kind of the beginning of the CFO role and the beginning of your career, a lot of times that understanding, you know, how the business works, the governance, the rules and regulations between, you know, in the U.S. we have articles and corporations or bylaws of an LLC, and every country has different structures. But essentially it says, here's how we govern the business. And that's a really important aspect for accounting people and CFOs to understand. So there's an aspect because it drives your internal controls and how the business functions as an entity. And that's really important to be, and we are, the CFOs are commonly given the task of handling the internal control function, which is making sure that things are managed well within the company. We have that as our first competency under the accounting pillar. The accounting pillar also includes the recording aspects. So all the transaction reporting you do and invoicing and all that and payments, those are all done and the recording aspect of it, which then comes to the reporting. So accounting handles all this beginning of the company business, the governance and the internal controls, and then all the transaction processing and the reporting that comes out of that, mostly in financial statements, but it might have compliance issues and things like that. So that's the accounting pillar. The finance pillar also has three competencies. We call them the planning and budgeting is one competency. There's a forecasting piece. And there's a, the third pillar, or the third competency under finance is financial analysis. So it's all forward looking. So if we look at the accounting aspect, is all making sure transactions are processed right, historical accounting is done well, your reports are all basics on the past. The finance aspect focuses on the future. So budgeting, forecasting, making the right decisions on investments. And so it has a, you know, the roots all come out of the financial statement. So both accounting and finance, there our roots come from the same place. So, and I don't call one of them more important than the other. Right now, the finance area is getting a lot of attention in predictive analytics and being able to look forward. But if you don't have that good accounting function, those skills don't help you very much. If you don't can't keep your accounting right, the finance piece doesn't help very much. And the third pillar is treasury. So under treasury, we have cash management. So that's making sure your bank accounts are reconciled, you're able to move cash effectively to pay vendors and to receive money from your customers and pay your employees and things like that. That's one of the core competencies. The second is raising money. So you might, once you get to a point where you're not funding, self-funding, either through owner putting in money, you want to go to a bank. You might want to sell to a private equity group and get some investment funds. So there's a fundraising capacity under the treasury operation. And the third area is the risk management. And the reason risk management is very related to governance and internal controls, but they're kind of those on steroids. And the reason why we put that under the treasury pillar is because when you take on third-party money, all of a sudden your risk profile changes. You have somebody else looking over your shoulder. So that kind of, in a real nutshell, breaks down the three pillars. That's how we teach at CFO.University. Those are the skill sets that we teach kind of on a practical level. And then the leadership aspect as well, those stair step in the self-awareness, and the team building and the strategy and culture that we that on that fourth pillar called leadership.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's worth us asking, you know, just asking you directly what inspired you to start the CFO University then? Because it's like it seems to me that you have a very distinct kind of pedagogy or approach to this. Was there a gap or a need that you thought had to be?
Yeah, you know, I came through the accounting and finance field my whole career, and I was served as a number of companies as their CFO, and then I went into CFO advisory, where I was doing interim part-time work, and through all those years, I never kind of gave it much thought what I was doing. You know, I knew there was an accounting function, I needed finance, but I never really put it down to if you were going to study this, you know, we take accounting classes, we take some finance classes, we take some social study classes, we kind of get a general business feel, but nobody ever said, if you want to be a CFO, here's the things that you should be familiar with. And those things, there's a textbook piece that I think is really fundamental that you have to understand balance sheets and income statements and financial statements, and generally you have to understand general financial analysis. But there's a practical aspect that nobody was really teaching. And so when I started thinking about, and I kind of got encouraged, I can tell you it's a longer story than you want to hear today, but how CFO at University came about was a little bit by accident. Okay. But I'd given it some thought. Well, you know, I'm in a group of professionals, and we kind of challenge each other, and it's an affinity group. And I kept telling them, you know, I have these really cool tools, financial applications that we can apply, that I want to develop applications for them and maybe sell them on the market and see the interest. And I kept saying this for about a year, and these people kept saying, Steve, you keep saying this, why aren't you doing anything about it? So they kind of forced my hand, and they guilted me into you know, these tools. Well, once I started building the tools, I started building this framework, started thinking about the framework of the tools. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, I had a bunch of the framework designed, a number of classes built, and they enjoyed what I was doing. They got a kick out of it. Maybe they were making fun of me along the way. I don't know, but they kind of inspired me to create not just some tools, but a whole framework to teach the CFO role and help, help young CFOs and people who aspire to the CFO role, to give them a template on what to focus on and how to develop in their career to become that, you know, world-changing CFO.
So I'd like to dig down. And so that's really interesting. So then CFO University is obviously, it's growing. It's a network. It's creating a sort of a network of knowledge or a way of kind of raising, maybe even raising the bar, because there are these, a lot of element, important elements that you CFOs ought to know. And in a sense, you, what you've said is, and this is very true of almost any profession, really, so many of us go along in a reactive way, right? We're doing our job. We have a lot of knowledge, but we don't consciously apply that knowledge. We don't consciously understand the framework within which we are operating, and we're still really effective. But if you maybe connect it with that consciousness, you can become even more effective. Is that fair?
I think that's a great way to put it, because I went through a lot of years where I just kind of did what was asked of me or what I thought needed to be done and didn't give a consideration on how to develop specific aspects, either of my, you know, for my professional skill set or for my team, you know, who I was managing the team. So I think you're exactly right. This gives people a framework in what, one of the first things that we did after the tools where we developed an assessment. And I had used in my, when I was doing the CFO advisory work, I created a tool that really helped managers and boards understand how their CFO role was performing, not necessarily the CFO themselves, but how the whole function was performing within a, within the company. And we did that through self-assessment and talking to people and doing interviews and things like that. And we were able to distill that into a self-assessment that we created that CFOs can take now. So anybody can go to our website and take a CFO readiness assessment, and they get an idea within the pillars and those core competencies I described, where they fit in from more of an experience standpoint. I'm not trying to test them on their capabilities. They will know that, but it's more where they've spent time. And so the example would be somebody who's never spent time in treasury might have a difficult time getting a CFO role if they don't become familiar with treasury operations. So we offer them that at CFO.university. So, you know, we allow them a chance to assess themselves and determine, and they don't have to come to CFO.university for, to further their careers and the advancement. They can choose any really good tool. We happen to think we have a pretty good one, but they can go, you know, they, at least they know where they can improve, and they also get really good, if they score well in certain areas, they get that as well. They can see how they perform against, we've had, you know, a couple thousand people take that test over the past couple of years. And so we have a really good database on, you know, how people perform against that, that assessment.
Okay. That's very cool. So what actually I would want, I didn't realize that. I want to definitely put that link up there because it sounds like a pretty interesting,
It's no cost. So it's just time.
It takes perfect sense. And it'd be, yeah, it's interesting too, because it's you can see there can just be areas of competency or exposure that you wouldn't have. So to that end, if we were to dig down, I guess there are two other areas I wanted to talk to you about. One was just around the notion of, because obviously from a SurePay perspective, there's the accounts receivable is a big concern. That's their area, right? So it's worth exploring what the perception for you around cash coming in, around that particular function is, and its role in the business. Non-technical, not about technology per se. It's not about the technology. It's about how does that actually work? What is it traditionally done? And how do you see it?
Yeah, no, the receivable. So I kind of wrap that up into the credit and receivable area. So having great processes in place, not necessarily technology, but getting your invoices out quickly, assessing the credit for customers so that you know, do I give them terms at all? And then that is a funding mechanism. So if you get prepayment, so if you look at your working capital, and working capital is how much cash you have to pay for things with, whether it's payroll. So you, and your working capital is dependent on how you pay your vendors, how you collect from your customers, when you pay. So you, you know, CFOs spend a lot of time managing this piece, this thing called working capital, and your AR, your receivables, are a huge part of that. So understanding if you're managing working capital really well, that doesn't mean it's necessarily small. You might want to extend terms with customers if you have a good bank and they can lend you money and you can make more sales. It isn't necessarily we want to reduce working capital all the time. Sometimes you might want to expand your terms, give your customers more favorable terms, longer terms, because you can make a lot more sales that way. And if they're credit worthy and your bank's willing to support you, it's a great way to expand sales. So, you know, your receivables, your whole collection process, how you set terms is really, really important to managing that whole treasury pillar and cash flow of the company. Does that answer your question?
Look, that actually, yeah, it goes above and beyond in terms of the overall scope, because I know that from, you know, what we've been learning is the expansion of a traditional cost center into a potential profit center, like the notion through the expanded sales and all that stuff. But at the same time, going back to something that you said earlier, when you were talking about functions and the idea of data and getting your accounting right, you need to have, for anyone to say do predictive modeling or to do enhanced sales or customer building, right? In any, I think, any accounting or financial function in a company, you actually have to have it relatively streamlined, and you have to have transparency and sort of operational awareness around it. Is that, would you say that's true or?
Really important. I mean, I think, and receivables certainly, and invoicing and collections is part of that. But all the financial process, whether it's payment to your vendors, the more structured, simplified, the better understanding you have of the processes, the more apt you are to make them efficient and effective. And you know, is and that's so important. And remember, we talked about the accounting pillar, the transaction processing, and how important it is to be able to get the financial processes in place so you can close the books. And that leads to the next piece, which is the whole financial forecasting and the financial analysis. And if you don't have that baseline transaction processing streamlined, very efficient, it bogs up the whole system. Right. So that handoff, what I call the handoff between accounting and finance, can only be smooth if the accounting process, which is where the transaction processing for invoices and collections and payments and you know, receiving shipping documents, that has to be really smooth. So it's really important that flows well. And if you don't do that well, it's really hard to get good at the predictive side. And that's the fancy part of finance, right? Or the CFO role now is that whole futuristic look and looking and predicting the future. But it's impossible to do if you don't have a really good, solid accounting process.
So in terms of the future, and I think maybe we will wrap it on that, is the question I'd have is, where do you think the role of a CFO is going? And I mean, in other words, you know, you've mentioned things like culture, right? You've mentioned things like things that you wouldn't traditionally, or at least as a layperson, non-CFO, you wouldn't traditionally think, oh, that's what a CFO does. But I mean, in speaking to CFOs, you realize in working with them, you realize they do everything, like in many respects. Sometimes they're really right at the center of the business, not just on the cash side, but really helping to make strategic decisions, even cultural, as you said, cultural or behavioral or decisions, you know, that type of stuff. But maybe with a mixture of data, maybe if you could just suggest what are you looking at the CFO, say, for the next 10 years, that role, how does that, maybe even the next 15 years, but, and maybe even with, if there's a COVID overlay here, we can talk about that. But just generally, where do you see it all going?
Well, I think, so to start in the past, you know, the last 8, 6, 7 months, the CFO role has been the role that people have leaned on through COVID, whether it's through quicker forecasting. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, they do a forecast every 2 days in their business. They used to do it once a month, and they, and the pressure. So being capable to do that creates a technology challenge and a skill set challenge for CFOs. So the CFOs have really stepped up in the people I've talked to, and being able to go to remote work quickly and then satisfy the company's needs in terms of all the changes taking place and, you know, forecast, you know, the management and the leadership team really needs to understand what's coming and making decisions and how they're just impact what they did. And they can't wait a month for that anymore. So from a standpoint of COVID, I think the CFOs have been, you know, really strategic in managing and navigating a lot of companies through the COVID crisis, and that continues to be the case. They continue to improve their operations and be able to get that information. Longer term, I see this trend. So technology is going to continue to be used to help us on the accounting side and streamline accounting operations, and that doesn't necessarily mean that there's headcount reductions and efficiencies from that standpoint. Those, you know, will replace a lot of that. In fact, I think CFOs need to make their, we're great at assessing financial decisions. What we're not very good at is looking at it's the humility maybe of a lot of CFOs I've met. Maybe I've just met the humble ones, but they want to lead by example. So when there's a crunch time, the first people to cut staff is a CFO. They're the one, oh, I got to show by example. And I'm not an advocate of that, because the CFO is losing capabilities. So they lose the resource. And so I think if I have one message to CFOs out there, it's be careful that you protect your strength and your resources through this, because it's your capabilities and your staff that's going to help companies get more effective in forecasting, create more opportunities on the sales side from data analysis. You know, close quicker. So what I see in the CFO role is more capabilities driven by technology and skilled talent. So, you know, if we can manage those two pieces really well, we'll continue, I think, to grow the influence that they have on companies. The risk that CFOs have is that, like data analytics, for example, that we get so caught up in the way we've done things in the past, accounting, for example, with all its prescriptions, that we forget that there's a future out there, and we have to be really open-minded to it. So I hear people on data analytics side hiring more engineers than accountants, more data scientists than accountants. And so I think the risk that we run as a profession is we're a 500-year-old industry. You know, accounting started that many years ago, and it hasn't changed very much. Debits and credits, the balance sheet, the income statement look pretty much the same as they did 500 years ago. And we've got to be more innovative than that. So we are at the center of we know all the moving parts of the business, and that gives us a huge advantage. We have, you know, so we have access to all that. We could lose that perch of kind of being the right-hand person of the CEO if we don't manage the data analytics, the modeling, the future part really well. And so I think that's an area that's a huge focus for us, huge opportunity. I don't see it slowing down. Data analytics is such an exciting field. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman out of Calgary who's a data analytics expert, and he the whole idea of mining, monetizing data is and that's a CFO, that's right in the CFO sweet spot. Not that they're going to become commercial managers, but I think we can add a lot to commercializing. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for CFOs. There's a risk that the world passes us by if we don't make sure we're procuring the right talent and really shape that future in a way that can improve our businesses.
That's amazing stuff. It seems it's absolutely relevant to the way things are going and what I'm seeing across lots of businesses. You know, in terms of the various roles and then people not understanding really proper resourcing to unlock that value, particularly in the data side. And it does make sense for the CFO to be across that. Again, I see that not as necessarily the commercial manager, but as someone who then incorporates that into the overall picture and is well positioned to do that. Well, Steve, I really appreciate this. This is fantastic. So thanks for joining, thanks for doing, sharing your wisdom with us.
My pleasure, Jonathan. It was really great. I can tell you're an expert at what you do.
About that, but I appreciate the conversation. So there we go. Thanks.